Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
Paul is giving to this young man called Timothy. He writes to him now in this 12th verse of 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold." Somebody say, "Lay hold." "Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." He said, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, before Pontius Pilate, witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until," somebody say until "the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he takes the next two verses and he describes what this appearing is and who is appearing when he says, "which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." I preach today from this subject, focus. The King is coming. Focus. The King is coming. Would you ask the Lord to help us now? Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, for your help in the next little while. The breaking of the bread of life. We're asking you, Lord, to take that which you have deposited in our spirit and help us, dear God, to, God, articulate it and communicate it today, God, in such a way that, Lord, it can be received into our hearts. Let faith activate your word in our life now, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, would you lift your hands and voices to the Lord one more time? Make a joyful sound of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody do it with a little joy now to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor, shake their hand, and tell them, "Focus. The King is coming." Does anybody ever have a problem with Scripture? Certain Scriptures? There's just some Scriptures you have problems with. You know, like that one that says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." Well, there's a Scripture found over there in the book of James that I often have a little struggle with. And it's simply this: confess your faults. Now, I don't have a problem in doing that, but it's the next phrase, "one to another." Because my worry is the other guy's fault may be gossiping. And who I confess my faults to may go tell all of my faults. But we're going to do our best to work with that Scripture today. We're going to try to make it work. It may get a little uncomfortable for just a moment, but we're going to try to work with that verse in James, "Confess our faults one to another." Now, we need a little honesty. Turn to your neighbor and say, "We need a little honesty." We need a little honesty. Sometimes it's all right to get honest, okay? But how many would confess here today? You just be honest and you confess that you have a problem oftentimes of getting sidetracked in the process of doing, whether it is in the physical world or in the spiritual world, but you have problems every once in a while of getting sidetracked in things that you do. Would confession... All right. Now look around, because you just let your fault be known that every once in a while you have an issue that I get sidetracked. I start a project. I get this brilliant idea that I'm going to do something. And somewhere in the process of doing it, I find myself on another journey. And the original project is abandoned and left. And it may be cleaning out the attic. And suddenly I find and open a box and I'm off on another journey and the attic never gets cleaned out. Or it may be this, that, or the other that sidetracks us from time to time. But life indeed is a cycle where we begin one journey and often find that we end up on another journey. Our conversations. Has anybody ever discovered that in your process of having conversations, the conversation gets sidetracked from the original subject matter, and by the time you get done talking, you've not dealt with what needed to be dealt with in the conversation. You have now become sidetracked in this process of life. That's the reason why many individuals and businesses alike have what they call mission statements or vision statements. These mission statements and vision statements are carefully honed statements that describe what they are intending to do and where they desire to eventually end up at. In the process, especially in the business world, they will run everything they do, every decision that they make, everything that they decide upon, they will run it all through that mission statement and that vision statement that says, does this match my vision? Does this match my mission? If it doesn't, then we don't need to be doing this, because this would take us down a trek that we don't really want to go, and so we've got to match it with our mission or our vision statement. Oftentimes, good businesses and good companies become sidetracked, ultimately collapse, because they simply did not pay attention to their original vision or stay involved in their original mission. They got sidetracked somewhere in the process. Now, that's one thing that we could deal with in the physical realm, that we could probably all do a little bit better in our physical dealings of trying to stay a little more focused in life. Therefore, we would get a little more done in the process. But let's take it over now into the spiritual realm, because what happens in the spiritual is often a mirror of what takes place in the physical world. As easily as it is to become sidetracked in the physical world, so is it easy to become sidetracked in the spiritual world. Just as you and I get off track in the physical, we also get off track in the spiritual, and we find ourselves oftentimes on a whole different journey than really where God has intended for us to be. Paul deals with this matter of becoming sidetracked in the verses just prior to our text this morning. In verses 6 through 10, he deals with how easy it is to become sidetracked in this present world that we live in. And he deals with the subject of materialism and how easy it is to become attached to that which is known and felt and that which is real and sensed in this present world, and how those things can lead us astray. He uses some very strong language when he talks to Timothy, who is his son in the gospel, and he tells him that this materialism becomes a snare. And not only is it a snare, but it will ultimately drown men in destruction and in perdition. In other words, he said, you can get so sidetracked with this present world that you forget the real journey that you're on, and the real journey is about living for God, and the real journey is about keeping your focus on Him, and the real journey is about finding what God has for our life. But materialism and this present world has a way of sidetracking us. He says it in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10 when he talks about the dangers of it. He says the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred. Watch, they have erred. They have become sidetracked. They have got themselves pulled away. They have wandered. They have strayed from their commitment to Christ by getting their focus on this present life, on materialism and this present world that they live in. It has caused them to err from the faith. They didn't intend to err. They didn't intend to stray. They didn't intend to wander, but they were slowly but surely pulled by all of this stuff that is in this present life that we're in. Now, you and I must understand that we are each vulnerable to becoming sidetracked in our journey, in our walk with God. You and I have got to realize that it doesn't matter how long we've been in church. It doesn't matter what our status is or position is or title might be. It doesn't matter what our tenure is in the kingdom of God. Each of us are vulnerable to becoming sidetracked in our spiritual journey. In fact, Paul addresses this vulnerability when he speaks in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6, and he talks about having godliness, godlikeness. Now, he's talking to those that this is their pursuit, this matter of godliness, this matter of godlikeness. And then he tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and 11, he says, "But thou, O man of God," and he speaks concerning Timothy's status in the kingdom. Not only is he godly, seeking to align his life with godly values, but Paul calls him a man of God. It is to now this person that he gives to them the warning that says you can become easily sidetracked in this present life. You may be a man of God. You may be one seeking a godly life. You may be one trying to align yourself with godly values. But I am vulnerable to being pulled away. I am vulnerable to being caught up in this present life that we are living in right now, and straying from my journey and my walk with God. Understand that my spiritual position never prohibits me from being sidetracked. Eve is in the garden. She's in the best of all kinds of places, but she becomes sidetracked in the best environment that there ever has been. Abraham is on a journey of faith, but he gets sidetracked by a famine. Lot is living under the blessings of a covenant family called Abraham, but he gets sidetracked by Sodom and Gomorrah. David is a man after God's own heart, but he gets sidetracked by the beauty of Bathsheba. Judas is an apostle chosen of the Lord, living in the presence of the Messiah, but he's sidetracked by 30 pieces of silver. Demas is on a missionary journey established by the church, but he becomes sidetracked by this present world. Oh, hear me in this Sunday morning service. Let me say it loud and clear. I don't ever want to become sidetracked in my journey and my pursuit of God. I want to keep my eyes on the goal. I want to keep my feet on the path. And I want to know where I'm going, because I got to learn how to master that which is so potent within me. For what is a man? The Lord said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, "What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And so if I gain everything in this present life, but I lose my walk with God and I lose my relationship with the Lord, what does it matter what I've gained gained in this present world, what I've got, what I can say is mine, if I lose everything in my walk with God, because my walk with God is the most important thing that I'll ever do, that I'll ever participate in. Hear me today. You may never achieve your goals in this present life, but if you achieve walking with God, you are a success. You may never reach the highest heights of financial status, but if you know that you're in the kingdom of God, you're in the best position there has ever been. You may not ever reach the acclaim that society would like to give, but if you have a fellowship with the Lord, you've got the best of all the world. It's just to walk with God. I can't afford myself to become sidetracked. So how do I prohibit my constant pull of this present world? How is it that I keep myself focused upon the things of God? Distraction is only diminished by the level of our attraction to our purpose. You see, I have to learn how to starve my detractions, and I've got to learn how to feed my focus. That's our problem. We feed our distractions, and we oftentimes don't feed our focus. And I got to learn how to feed my focus, and I got to learn how to starve those things that would distract me. And so work is involved to keep my focus on the things of God. There are so many things that are happening this past week while we were in South Dakota, Wyoming, Colorado. Sister Borders, she got very prayed up. She got in touch with the Lord, especially going up into the Rockies and making some of those curves, because I have a tendency to look and say, look. And she said, I'll look. You keep your eyes on the road. You know. But look at those cedars. Aren't they beautiful? Yes, they are, but keep your eyes on the road. You know. Stay focused. I'll take the pictures. I'll look here. And so, but there was too much happening beside of me. There were streams, there was babbling brooks, there was snow melting, there was birds on the end of branches, and I wanted to capture all of it, and the road didn't have a pullout, it didn't have a place to get off, and I didn't want to miss it, and so I'm trying to keep one eye on the road, and I'm trying to keep one eye over the side, and Sister Borders is trying to keep both eyes on the road, because both of my eyes are not on the road. You know, sometimes you got to work. You got to shut some stuff out. You got to zero in. You just got to say, you know what? I'm not going to look to the left, and I'm not going to look to the right, but I'm just going to keep my eyes on the goal. I'm just going to keep my focus straight ahead. I'm not going to get caught up in everything that's happening over here. I'm not going to get sidetracked by all of this stuff. I know it's alluring. I know it's got some attraction. And it may even have some value in this present life. But it's taken my focus away from the kingdom of God. And I can't afford to let my focus go someplace else. I got to keep it on my walk with God. I wish I could get somebody eyes back on the goal today. I wish I could get somebody's eyes back on the prize today. You've been looking left. You've been looking right. I'd like to get you to look right straight forward and see that you got a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords that's coming. Yeah. Now Paul gives a little admonishment here about this matter of focus in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 11. He says, flee. And then he says, follow. Verse 12, he says, fight, lay hold. In other words, he tells Timothy, who's pursuing godliness, who he calls a man of God. He said, look, there's some real attraction out there. There's some real pull. Flee, follow, fight, lay hold. In other words, he says, follow one course until success. That's focus. Just follow one course until success. Keep your eyes on it. Fight. Flee. Lay hold. Keep your focus upon the things of God. Don't let your attraction be pulled aside or become distracted by the things of this world. But give it everything you got. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. You're going to have to fight a little bit. There's some things you're going to have to flee from. There's some things you're going to have to lay a hold of. There's some things you're going to have to grasp. But give it everything you got, because you can't afford to get your eyes off the prize and off of the goal. You got to keep your mind zeroed in on what God has got. I think so often of Ahab in the Old Testament, who was entrusted with the slaying of the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. And he spared him. He did not kill Ben-Hadad. And a prophet came to Ahab and caught him in the gate. And he said, God gave to you a man and delivered him into your hands. And he said, you let him go. And the king tried to make an excuse. And he said, well, as I was busy here and there, he was gone. As I was busy here and there, he slipped from my grasp. I know I was supposed to keep my focus on him because God had delivered him into my hands, but I was busy here and I was busy there, and he slipped from my grasp. And how so often that happens in our life. God gives us this beautiful walk with God, but we just get busy here and there, and it slips from our grasp, and sometimes we don't even realize that it's gone. Sometimes we don't even realize that it's been like the grains of sand that's drained between our fingers, and we've lost sight of it. Oh, friend, I can't get busy here and there and lose sight of what this thing is all about. I got one goal, and that's to make heaven my home. I got one dream, and that's to walk streets of gold. I got one desire, and that's to dance around the throne of Almighty God. Come on, somebody. It's got to get your focus now. Somebody say focus. The king is coming. I've got to keep my attention on the things of the Lord. I've got to get kind of the mentality of Christ, who refused to become sidetracked by those that antagonized him. And even those that would aggrandize him, he refused to become sidetracked from his purpose. For Luke 9 and 51 says that when the time was come that he should be received up, here it is now, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now this is what you and I need. We need to set our face, need to get our face firmly set, not looking over the side, not looking to the right, and not looking to the left. That was the admonishment of the wise man in Proverbs 4 and 25. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Keep thy foot from evil. Set thy face. Praise God. You just gotta get your eyes on the goal and say, that's where I'm heading. I can't see all of this over here, and I can't see all of this over here. I got my mind upon living for God. I got my mind upon making it in the rapture. I got my mind upon being ready for the sound of the trumpet. I gotta get focused in this present life. Somebody say, focus. So I've got to keep this. He says in 1 Timothy 6 and 14 that thou keep. Somebody say keep. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable. How long? Until. Somebody say until. Until the appearing of Christ. Keep this commandment until. How long am I in this fighting and fleeing and laying a hold process? He said, keep it until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you was called unto eternal life, and you've also professed a good profession. You were called and you professed this thing. He said, now keep on keeping on. Keep the main thing. Brother Tenney used to say it like this. Keep the main thing the main thing. Don't ever let the main thing fall off the priority list. Keep your focus. Keep your attention upon the things of God. You were called to this. You professed it was right when you gave your heart to God. Now keep it until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does anybody remember the old song? I started one day to follow Jesus, not caring for worldly fame. And just when it seemed that I couldn't make it, my head hung down in shame. Though all the world around me was offering its glitter, trying to dim my view, I started out and I'm going to finish this race that I have begun. Keep the commandment. I started it out and I'm going to finish. Titus says it in Titus 2:13. Paul writing to Titus, he says, looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. That glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, looking for that blessed hope. Was that not the commandment that Christ gave in his teaching while on earth when he said, the commandment I give to you, I give unto all? Watch, 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 be observant, keep your focus. The King is coming. Now understand, when we talk about this matter of the appearing of Christ, Paul did not want Timothy to think that this is just religious jargon tucked away in a church's theology, somewhere in a doctrinal system that has no merit nor any real value. When he talks about the appearing of Christ, he quickly attaches it to the status and the position of the one that was coming. When he said in 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his times he will show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. If you're struggling to keep your focus, you just need to understand who it is that's coming. It's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. If you're struggling to keep your attention upon what you started in, you just need to understand, when we talk about the second coming of the Lord, we're talking about the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Paul quickly elevates the one that is coming above every ruler, above every empire that has ever existed. He places him above Nimrod, the father of human government. He puts him above Nebuchadnezzar, who was the head of gold. He places him above Alexander the Great, the Grecian, who conquered the then known world. He raises him above all others, saying, the one that's coming is the King of kings, and the one that's coming is the Lord of lords. The first time he came in a stable in Bethlehem. The first time he came riding a donkey. But the next time he comes, he's coming in all of his glory, and his name shall be written King of kings and Lord of lords. Can I tell you who you got your focus on? Can I tell you who you got your attention on? It's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's who you got your attention on. You're not just waiting on a church doctrine to be fulfilled. You're not just waiting on some theological system to come together. You're not just waiting on a few little words from a preacher's sermon. You're not waiting on just the lyrics of a song to be fulfilled. You're waiting on the appearing of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I can't look to my left. I can't look to my right. I got to keep my eyes on that eastern sky, because the King is coming. But not only did Paul elevate the one that was coming in its highest position as being above all others, wanting Timothy to know the one you're focused on, the one you're waiting until his appearing is there, is King of kings and Lord of lords. But there's a little contextual statement that is made by Paul. He simply puts it into context with all that he's writing. Remember, he started in verse 6. And he starts with the matter of the allurement of materialism, the attraction of this present world. And now he's told Timothy to focus until the coming of the King of Kings. And so there's this little subtle implication that Paul makes, that the one that Timothy is waiting on is not just he who is blessed and the only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he adds verse 16 when he says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power. He said, in other words, Timothy, I want you to understand that all that materialism of verses 6 through 10, it's all going to decay. It's all going to fall away. It's not going to last. But the one you're waiting on has immortality. He's forever. He cannot perish. He's not corruptible. He will never decay. He will never die. He will always be. For what I'm waiting on is that which is everlasting, that which is eternal. Naphtali, you're just getting started. Beautiful graduation. We're going to help you celebrate here this afternoon, and we're going to have a good time doing it. But I want you to understand, it's not in this present life. It's not what all this life is. You got a lot of adventures. You got a lot of places to go. But oh friend, there's something that's immortal. There's something that is non-perishable. Keep your focus. Keep your attention. Keep your eyes glued on that. Don't ever get sidetracked from all of that, because it's not about this present life. It's not about this present world. It's about that one that's appearing on that eastern sky. That's where I got to get my focus, because all this stuff is all going to rust and decay. It's all going to fall apart, and the car is going to quit running, and all the stuff is going to cease to exist. But my focus is upon He who has immortality, He that is forever. That's where I got to keep my attention. That's where I got to keep my focus, because it may not happen. Everything in life, Dallas, everything in life may not all happen. I may not get all the things I've got in life planned done. I may not get it all accomplished, but that really doesn't matter. It really don't make any difference at all, because you understand my focus is on that sky, that King of Kings, that not only is higher than any other, but He's immortal. He's forever. He's everlasting. He doesn't decay. He doesn't rot. He doesn't die. He doesn't pass away. That's where my focus is. That's where my attention is. Does anybody remember the words of that old song that says something like this? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and let the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. What we need to do in this present life, in this present hour, is somebody say, you know what? It isn't about what I get here. It's what about what I have over there. It's what God has laid up in store for me. My eyes are upon that sky, and I'm looking for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you just lift your hand with me now across this building? Would you turn your face toward heaven? Would you just turn your direction now toward Him? I don't know what's pulling. I don't know what's trying to sidetrack you. I don't know what it is that's trying to get your attention. I don't know what it is that's trying to pull you left or right. But I can tell you, if you will just look up, you will find what you're waiting on. You're waiting on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is what you're waiting on today. Would you stand with me now all across this building? And would you just lift your voice and your hands to the Lord? And would you begin to praise Him with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength? Would you just begin to lift your attention toward Him now? Somebody turn your eyes now. Somebody turn your eyes. Somebody turn your eyes. If something's pulling you, If something's sidetracking you, if something's trying to get your attention, if something's trying to pull you away, if something's trying to take you off of your journey, if something's trying to pull you aside, trying to pull you back today, trying to get your focus, trying to get your attention, reaching for a young man, a young lady, a mom, a dad right now. Just need to get your focus back on the things of God. Just get your focus back on what this journey's all about. It's about Him. It's about Him. It's what I'm waiting on. It's what I'm looking for. It's what I'm reaching for. It's what I'm trying to attain. I don't want to become sidetracked in this present life and journey. Would you close your eyes with me now all across this building?
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.